You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories and the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the autumn reset and why the post-holiday season is the perfect time to rethink how you lead. And to do that, we're joined by local expert Claire Croft of Claire Croft Associates. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I really look forward to introducing Claire to you after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, thank you for joining us. You are in for a treat this morning. This morning, we're going to be talking about the autumn reset and why the post-holiday season is the perfect time to rethink how you lead. And to do that, we're joined by Claire Croft of Claire Croft Associates. So if you don't know Claire, let's introduce Claire now. So Claire, thanks so much for joining me this morning. Really appreciate it. For those who don't know you and your business, introduce yourself.
Thanks, Ben. Lovely to be here. Thank you for having me. So as you said, I'm Claire Croft. I'm an executive and leadership coach. I imaginatively named my business Claire Croft Associates. So I have been working as a coach now for 13 years. And really, my mission in my work is to help people and teams have a more energizing, meaningful and impactful experience at work.
Amazing. Lots to unpick there and to talk about over the next hour. But before that, the most difficult part of this show, I find for my guests, is becoming a radio DJ just for a few minutes. So you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
So my song choice is George Michael, A Different Corner. And it has nothing to do with the topic we're about to talk about, but it is my go-to song for when I just need to relax and calm down and actually just remember about humanity and lives. And also, George Michael is my hero. I say it unashamedly, and I just think he's a genius songwriter.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio, following that very good song chosen by Claire. We've heard about Claire and indeed her business. And today, if you are just tuning in, we're talking about an autumn reset and why the post-holiday season is the perfect time to rethink how you lead. Claire, I'm going to start with a really big question, really, to set the tone. Why is the post-holiday season the perfect time to rethink how you lead?
So I'm going to start from what might feel like a bit of a negative place, but it's actually in Taoist theory, there is a need to work with energy rather than against it. Mm. Right. And coming out of summer, we've all had some downtime. We've all been outdoors feeling energetic, feeling revitalized. I mean, and particularly this year, my days, what a summer we've had. But going into summer, we can feel we were really ready for it. And actually, the period between September to Christmas can feel like a challenging time. You've still got 3 months to get to the end of the year. So the reason it's such an important time for a reset is to capitalize on all that energy that summer has given you and use it as a moment to go, how do I want to sustain my energy? How do I want to support my people's energy as we go through into this final quarter before we get another break at Christmas? And generally in the world of work right now, energy management is critical because it is so challenging out there for everybody. There is lots of positives, which we do need to focus on as well. But part of how you get to the positives is by leading yourselves there with the right energy and clarity about what needs to be done.
No, absolutely. So something that I'm really keen to talk to you about before we move on slightly is burnout. Let's stay there, because I think it's something that's been reported a lot at the moment. What are you seeing in the world of burnout? And for those who do feel burnt out or feel that they're approaching that, what can you do about that?
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I've coached three people this year who reached the point of burnout. And I will be open, I went through burnout myself in 2011. And burnout is always co-created, right? It is both the individual and it is the context of their organization that create this perfect storm. So individually, it can be about that desire to achieve, that desire for perfection, that desire to hold everything together and just keep pushing, pushing, pushing. And our brains can be really unkind to us. They stop us from listening to our body. Your body is always telling you when you're approaching burnout. It is sending the signals, right? But our brain goes, no, ignore that, just keep going. So you've got the individual factor that plays its part. What I'm seeing right now, though, is the organizational context is making it difficult for those individuals with that predisposition to pull back. And the reason is complete lack of clarity from leadership. And I say this with no judgment of leaders, right? I want to be really crystal clear. It is tough out there. We all thought COVID was the biggest challenge we ever faced in business terms. I want to be really clear. I'm talking about it through the lens of business. But we came out of COVID and then we were being hit from every direction, so many different external factors hitting a business. And businesses struggle with change a lot of the time. And I think what's challenging right now is to create clarity for people. So my clients always laugh. I'm like, you don't need another wellness program. You need some prioritization. Right. You know, a client saying to me, yeah, I've got 15 priorities. Like, that's not priorities. That's a list. Right. So it's people not really knowing where to focus their energy, where to focus their attention. They don't know what impact looks like. And unfortunately, those characters I described before, the MO is just go at it all. Just throw everything you've got at it. So I think the context is a really big driver to burnout. The other individual factor as well, of course, right now is that people are hearing a very strong narrative that there's no opportunity out there, right? So there's fear at play. There are people who genuinely are fearing for their jobs, and within their own organization they are seeing redundancies happen. And what happens in this context is we lose agency and we disconnect from our understanding that there is always choice. No matter how challenging your context is, you always have agency, you always have choice. It requires bravery and courage sometimes to take the right choice for you that will protect you from burnout.
No, really, really interesting insight there. And I think sometimes it can be a little bit of a badge, can't it? In terms of I'm working crazy hours at the moment, I'm super busy. Like, I think it's often a phrase, isn't it? A network or a question at networking events. Are you busy? So it's a really, really interesting one there. Just in terms of something you touched on that I thought was really interesting is in terms of the difference between priorities and a list, e.g. 15, 15 is a list. What's the approach to actually prioritising and really prioritising? What are some of the things you talk to your clients about?
So I get my clients to always go to the end state, right? So whether that's a quarter, whether it's a month, whether it's a week, whether it's a day, what do you want to be able to look back and say you achieved today? What value do you want to have added? What do you want to be known for, right? And that clarity of where do you want to get to helps you go, so what do I actually need to do? The other factor that I talk to my clients about is, do you need to do all of this? Is it yours to do? There's a lot of protecting of teams going on, which is so wonderful, right? There's kindness in the world of work. People are leaders are trying to protect their people. But the irony is, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. What's actually going on is they are preventing their people from actually having their own agency in their work, for them to step up, to contribute in a more impactful, meaningful way. So it really is about step back and think about what is a positive endpoint. What is that telling you about what you need to do, and how do you bring others into it? Right. And it is, I want to be really clear. I'm so deeply empathetic to this because I have one client. We are in September. They are on their sixth strategy of the year.
Wow.
Right. That is not a well-known business strategy to have six strategies in a nine-month period. So I am not for a second saying it's easy. But what are you voting for if you don't choose some things to focus on? One, two, three things that you want to achieve. You are voting for, I'm going to try and do 15 things. And that is not feasible. So a bit of it as well is, how do you talk truth to power? So how do you talk up the chain and assert what you perceive to be the most important things for you to do and have that conversation? There's a lot of people right now are being told they're empowered to do their jobs, where actually they're being abandoned to do their jobs. You know, they're just like, we just need to get everything done, go and do it. You have to have the strength to talk truth to power and go up that chain and say, this is what's actually feasible. And actually that open dialogue, that contracting around what do we actually need to do, is in support of the business as well as you, don't forget. You can't do 15 things well. You can do three things well at best.
No, absolutely. And something I'm keen to touch on is that big business versus micro. I appreciate, let's go both ends. So let's go major brands, and I know you've worked with lots of them too.
Yeah.
Micro, small, team of five, let's say.
Yeah.
How do you balance that differently? Or indeed, what are the similarities between micro business and big in terms of this prioritization?
So I have a fairly brutal view on this, which is people are people, no matter how many of them there are, right? So if there's five of you and you haven't got clarity, what are you avoiding talking about together, right? When there is a small group, it should, in theory, be easier. In theory. The problem, of course, when you're small is the survival pressures are more intense. You know, the macro context in which we're working in, the threats that are posed feel like they're going to hit a small business harder than potentially a big business. So the job remains the same. And actually, it's more important in a smaller business that you are investing your time in the energy in the things that are going to make the most difference. Particularly, you know, your reputation. What do you want to be known for? What do you want to stand for? We're really lucky, right? We live in a county that is plentiful with small businesses, but it's plentiful with small businesses, right? So certain sectors are relatively, one might describe as flooded. So what's your impact that you're trying to have, and start from that end point. What do you want to be known for, and let that guide you? And then it really is, when you're smaller, who's got the talent to do what job, right? The fluidity that you can have in a smaller businesses of allowing the talent to flow where it needs to go, that's your superpower. So use it.
No, really, really good. Really, really good advice there. Let's have a song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. OBCN.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Claire Croft of Claire Croft Associates, and we're talking about an autumn reset. So Claire, I'm keen to be the Grinch, if that's okay. I think, as you rightly said in the last section, is, you know, business is tough out there. I think that a lot of statistics, but also a lot of actually talking to businesses on the ground, will show us that there's challenges. What do you do when you're having real challenges? How do you deal with that? And where do you get support? What is the first thing to do?
I think the first thing to do, this will sound odd, is challenge if it's a challenge, right? Yeah. I think one of the hardest things right now is the narrative that's out there. The weight we are feeling about the situations that are in play can pull our energy down, right? And our assumption, understandably, is this is going to be really, really hard. Well, if you interrogate the challenge through the lens of how could this benefit our business? What opportunities could this present for us? Or even what is this telling us about what we need to do in our business? Where do we need to refocus? Do we need to pivot? Do we need to invest, right, in new support, new resources? Start from that place of, how do I want to navigate this challenge? Not how do I want to cope with this challenge? And they're different mindsets, right? One is lean in, get on the front foot with it. One is, I assume this is going to happen to me. So, and it is really, really hard. And that's why one of the things I talk to my clients about is, who is your virtual support network? Where do you go just to talk it through with somebody? And it's why networking is really valuable, but so is bringing together people you've worked with in the past, reconnecting, spending time. There is a reason they say a problem shared is a problem halved, right? If you're the sort of person who thinks you need to solve this, right? And you're just going to sit at your desk, head in hand, staring at the problem, you will not make as much progress as if you walk away from your desk, connect with people, talk to people, bring your people into the conversation, right? Because there is no version of events right now where a challenge is a one-person job. It's just not.
No, absolutely. I think you make a really good point there. I think if we look back over the last 250 hours of radio of this show, I think we've had some really big businesses, C-suite, Coca-Cola, founder zero down to some micro. And I think a big theme that's come across a lot of shows is the point you make there is it can be a very lonely place being at the top of a business. And I think that support network can be so key and absolutely crucial. One of the other things I think we've learned in this show is that we shouldn't presume that we know what we know, if that makes sense. So I guess now would be really good to build on, what is that dynamic of working with a coach? When should you work with a coach? What makes good coaching? And what would that relationship, or what could that relationship look like?
Yeah, so look, at the heart of a coaching relationship is trust, right? The coaching relationship is really about a space where you can show up as your unfiltered self. You can bring the vulnerability. Vulnerability, for example, is quite hard for a lot of senior leaders and business owners. But in the relationship with the coach, you co-create this environment where the reality can live. Your reality can live, and it can be explored, and it can be interrogated. And coaching is needed when you hit a point where you know you want more, you want to move further forward, but you can't work out how to get there. It's needed when you are hitting states of overwhelm, or, for example, if you've fallen out of love with your business, right? Those moments where change, that friction is bubbling under the surface, right? That dissatisfaction, with your reality is there, and you want and need to take some action around it. Now, I always feel like a coaching relationship, and it's what I would hope my clients would say about me, has two factors at play. You should feel deeply supported. So someone's got your back, someone's there walking alongside you, but you should also feel respectfully challenged. A coach is there to help you interrogate your thinking, your perspectives, your view of your reality from new angles. A coach is not there to tell you what to do. A coach is not there to rescue you. They're not there to fix you. They're there to support you as you reconnect to your brilliance.
No, really good insight. Just in terms of that challenge piece, I think we all see in society the I suppose the Instagram world, and maybe I'm talking small here, but that everything should be amazing and life should be great and business should be good and we should be growing at X percentage every year. But sometimes the reality is that's not possible. How do you set goals, or how do you define goals that are challenging but achievable? How do you go about that process?
So I think the first thing is acceptance. Like, I want to be a size 8, Ben, but that's just not going to happen, right? Because I haven't got it in me to make the effort to get there. It's that acceptance of our hopes and dreams are not up for discussion. They remain valid, right? But we have to help ourselves keep taking the steps to fulfill those hopes and dreams. And that means work with the context, not the hope, right? So for me, it's about chunk it down. And it's about saying to people, what feels like a stretch, but an achievable goal for you to set, right? What's going to... We always talk about the three zones, right? Comfort zone, stretch zones, panic zone. Goal setting should never live in the panic zone, right? It's never about that. We want an extra £1 million revenue this year when you know you're at 200,000 and the market's really struggling, right? That's a panic zone target, and actually becomes a sort of Damocles sword hanging over the business, right? But a plan that says, right, let's aim for 450. Whilst also, let's think about the goals that would help us once we get to 450, feel confident we are then still on the same path to a million. So it's chunk it down, be aspirational, but be realistic. And I always think for leaders, and particularly business owners, get into your business. Right. Don't sit in the office looking at the spreadsheet, dreaming of what good looks like. Go and connect with the realities of your business as well. Where is it strong? Where is its potential? Where is it struggling? Right. The disconnect that happens between leaders and the reality of their own businesses is quite significant at times. So I always talk to them about, when was the last time you went and talked to X on the shop floor, right? How connected are you to what's even possible in your business? So the job for me is always keep the hope and dream, but chunk it down into what are the steps we can take to get to that dream, and in what sort of time frame are we thinking, and challenge yourself, do I genuinely understand where I'm starting from, where my business is starting from? Because in that way, then You can set an aspirational goal, but you can set one that's achievable at the same time.
No, really, really fascinating insight there, Claire. Thank you. Just in terms of that level of aspiration, how do you define what is your goal? And I'm going to come quite back to small business, if that's okay, Claire, because I think it's easier for me to explain the question. I think that, you know, some business owners will say, I want to be a millionaire. That's yeah. often a thing when you're very small. And some business owners will say they want to retire at a certain age. Like, so my personal goal is I plan to retire in 9 years and 7 months and 12 days.
Not that you're counting.
Good math there. But I guess there will always be, like, if I look at my business, there will always be a bigger recruitment business. There will always be somebody that's more ambitious. But I guess I think what would be quite useful for our listeners is, how do you define the end point? With start with the end in mind, a really good book there, that is bespoke to you and right for you, and you're not being driven by other people that it's not going to impact.
Yeah, so I always talk to my people, my people, God, shut up, Claire, my clients about what is your definition of success, right? And it's all well and good defining success, but not just as a business owner. Define success as a human being, right? And then you can work out, well, what role does this business I own need to play in that? And then the really important thing is, why is this important to you? What would achieving this feel like to you? Because the job is always get people connected to their race that they're running, right? It doesn't really matter who else is on the track. What do you want for you and your family, your loved ones, and what will it feel like? And I do sort of quite a lot of, it's called somatic coaching, so feeling that in the body, right? And getting people really physically connected to that end game. That, as an approach, does really help people go, me, my aspirations, where I want to be. And actually, you can then start to feel quite happy for others who are following their dream of what good looks like for them, because you're not competing. You're really clear on what you want for yourself. So it is an emotional job, right? This isn't about numbers on a page. And a lot of the time, you know, when if somebody says, I want to be a millionaire, you ask what makes that important for you. It's got nothing to do with the number, and it's got everything to do with what it will say to everybody else. And then you're into, as a coach, you're into, well, what would it be for you in your motivations, your self-worth, your self-esteem? So none of this is a numbers on a page game. It's just not. People don't start businesses for purely numerical reasons, right? They are unleashing a need, a want, a desire in that from themselves. It's personal. So really, the coaching job is to make it personal. And then you can, from that point, then you can go back into, so what does that look like on a page?
Absolutely. No, really, really good. Really, really good insight there. You touched on pulling together, and you gave the track analogy. I'm really keen to talk about that balance of team leadership and team coaching and getting that alignment with you as the business leader. What are some of the things to consider around that topic?
Well, the first thing to consider is, why have you hired them? Right? So if you've got employees, what is it you can see you want and need them to contribute that you can't just do on your own? Right. And so the start point for me with team coaching is, why do we exist as a team? Right. A lot of team coaching will focus on, are we all getting on? Which is important. I am not dissing that at all. But the real power lies in, what are we here to achieve together? What is the value we need to create for our broader employees, for our customers, for our community, right? What is our work in service of? That is a way of helping everybody start from a place of, we do have a shared goal. And so many teams are operating as groups. They're just individuals who update every Monday morning for an hour, and everybody's bored out of their minds, right? And nobody's actually listening to each other. True teams are working together in service of a shared end goal. And I feel like the importance of team coaching right now, and I'm lucky enough to work with a lot of teams. It is a collective endeavor to navigate our choppy waters right now, it needs to be a collective endeavor. And I always say to my, you know, if I'm talking to a business owner or a CEO, your job is not to have all the answers. Your job is to create the conditions where the answers can be found. So really, that's the reason for team coaching right now, is to allow the conversations to be possible from a place of what is it we need to achieve together, not, you know, classic example, sales and marketing, who's the most important in the organization and therefore who needs the most budget and resource, right? That doesn't serve anybody. You can't have departments pulling apart right now. They have to pull together. And as a leader, being crystal clear on whether, are you fueling the division? Are you fueling the silo by the way that you're setting goals and targets? Are you driving competition into your business? If you are, how is that actually going to help you become more than the sum of your parts? It's not.
No, really, really helpful. Really, really helpful. Let's have another song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
This is the Business Brunch Podcast from Get Radio. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, you're missing you've missed some really, really great content. So do head over to the Get Radio website and listen back to the podcast version. Today, we're talking about an autumn reset and why post-holiday season is the perfect time to rethink how you lead. And to do that, we're joined by the wonderful Claire Croft of Claire Croft Associates. So let's focus on the final kind of part of I suppose the topic in terms of rethink how you lead. How do you rethink how you lead? How do you judge yourself as a leader, and how do you really implement that positive change? Because I think humans are creatures of habit, aren't we? So it's sometimes it's quite difficult to change. Talk me through your experience and thoughts here, Claire.
So yeah, it is really hard to change, but if you want it, you can get it, right? So again, you know, this is where I would say this because it's kind of my business, but this is the joy of coaching, right? I often feel like all I really am selling is space to think and time to think, because when we stop, when we press pause, we can ask ourselves just one simple question: how is this working for me? Right. And, you know, we all know it. We just don't stop and think it. So I think the reason that, you know, coming into autumn is a really valuable time is you've done 9 months of the year. You've experienced a bit of a dip of downtime through August. You've experienced what it's like to take the foot off the gas a little bit. But now you've got another 3 months till you get to Christmas. So what has the first 9 months been like for you? What have you enjoyed? What have you found motivating and energizing? What's drained you of energy? What is feeling like a heavy weight on your shoulders right now? And how would you like the rest of this year to be different? Do you want to go into Christmas crawling? A lot of people went into summer on their knees, right? They were, the desperation for the 2 week holiday was palpable. The choice now is, do you want to crawl to Christmas, which, let's be clear, is not a holiday. It's an entertainment period, right? It's exhausting, especially if you've got lovely kiddies. Do you want to crawl into that, or do you want to walk into it tall, proud, feeling confident, feeling grounded? So it's a choice about what do you want to be. And a lot of the time I talk to leaders about what does your family deserve from you? I just say, it's like when you take people out of the work and you reconnect them to the fact that you are so much more than your work, and what does that broader life deserve from you?
You will have made a lot of people really think there, because I think that so many business leaders that I talk to through this radio show and my own business and various volunteering pieces think that they're doing a really good job by doing a good job, but actually there is a value in presence, isn't there? And there is a value in, you know, being there for those sports days and so on and so forth. Claire, I want to put you on the spot a little bit here, and without breaking any kind of client confidentiality, if you look at the most successful leaders you've worked with throughout your career and throughout your business, and you were to put a trait on that, or like a theme, or what do they have in common? And then I guess let's be really mean. And if you were to look at the leaders that have really struggled, could you put your finger on some of the mistakes they make that would be good for our listeners to avoid?
Yeah. So what are the good ones? It's really easy. There's two factors I see. Number one, their work is not their identity. Right. So they have perspective, which is critical. If your work is your identity, it's hard to pull apart, step back. I always talk, can you see the pixel or can you see the picture? Right. And people for whom work is their identity, they see the pixel. The second factor is their levels of optimism are off the chart. Want to be crystal clear. People really misunderstand optimism. They tend to think it's, you know, American cheerleader, happy clappy, everything is awesome. We're not in the Lego movie. True optimism is the ability to stare adversity right in the face and still believe positive outcomes are possible. Right? So they can understand, comprehend, accept that which is really difficult, but they will instantly go, but I reckon we'll get there. And here's how we're going to do it. Right. So true optimism, inauthentic optimism is a real driver of toxicity in businesses. But let's not go there. So is it your identity or is it just part of you? And can you hold true optimism? Are really positive enablers to being a successful leader. The other factor is, which I sort of, it feels to me, sometimes I forget about it because it's like, well, duh, but empathy. Do you have the ability to step into the shoes of others and think about what might your leadership be like to receive, right? So there's three things, but empathy to me is like second nature, so I sometimes forget about it. The people who struggle, well, obviously the opposite is true. It is their identity. They are lost in their work. They can't pull back. But the other thing they struggle with is vulnerability. So your point you were making earlier, Ben, about, you know, the Instagram. Yeah, everything's brilliant. Yeah, I'm super busy. Yeah. Buy, sell. That everybody knows that's not your reality, right? Yeah. The confidence to go, I am finding this hard. Right? The willingness to say to your people, I don't know the answer. It's not weakness. It's an opportunity for others to have agency and support. Like if you ever say to somebody, I'm really struggling with this. Have you ever had somebody say, I'll get lost. I haven't got time for that. People don't. People want to help. People want to support. Because no matter what the whole narrative is about, people don't care about work anymore. They do. They just care about having impact. They just care about contributing and being of value, right? So let them be of value. So if you can engage with vulnerability, be honest, be open. It's not about, I want to be clear, right? It's not about going, everything's terrible, everything's broken. Oh my God, this is a nightmare. That's not good leadership. That's causing panic. But the willingness to go, God, I'm finding this hard. Are you? It validates it for them that they're finding it hard too. So I would say that is really, really important. The other thing that I think people, I touched on it earlier, that makes them bad leaders is they're not actually connected to their business.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they can't have empathy, really, because they don't know their business well enough. They don't know the realities of it. They know the numbers of it.
Really, really, really insightful. Claire, I'm gutted that we're coming to the end of the show. I'd have loved to have gone for another hour. But before we do finish, You've given so much knowledge and expertise already, but I guess what I would really love you to do is to leave our listeners with one top tip to remember, whether it be something we've discussed already that you would like them to highlight in their notepad, because I'm sure our lovely listeners have had their notepad out all show. Or whether it be something I've not asked you about that you think would be something else to remember. What would be your last and top tip to leave with our listeners?
In order to protect your energy right now, in order to protect your optimism and your happiness, do everything you can in your power to focus on that which you can control and reach acceptance with that which you can't control.
Wow. Great advice. Thank you so much. That is the end of the show. So if you have just tuned in, we have been joined by Claire Croft of Claire Croft Associates. And the topic has been Autumn Reset, why the post-holiday season is the perfect time to rethink how you lead. So I would definitely recommend listening back. Just a reminder, we are going to be back next week with some brand new guests. And we're going to be talking about another topic that impacts on local businesses here in Oxfordshire. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast version which goes out on any major podcast platform or every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format so you can see my lovely guests, which is released on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, look after yourself, and we'll see you next week.